When Shadows Fall, written by Kay Dobby and read by Kate Hosking. The rough weather conditions over Bass Strait rattled the aircraft, and several times it dropped, taking my stomach with it. I glanced about at the pale, tense faces of the other passengers, wondering if they were reviewing their lives and finding them wanting. In a way, I was invincible. I had brushed death so close it did not frighten me anymore. When we landed at Hobart Airport, the storm rumbled overhead, spitting lightning and pouring rain, and then dispersed as if it had never been. The sun shone. I collected my luggage and went over to the hire car counter, and then had to wait for my request to be processed. The chair was hard and unfriendly, and I watched the passing human stream with indifferent eyes, their impatience, excitement, and occasionally sorrow not touching me at all. It was as though I were watching the world through bars, locked away on my own. And that was exactly how I had felt these past 6 months. The passionate woman who had channeled everything into her life and work now seemed like someone else. "Wouldn't you rather have other people around you?" Bolton had asked me, his sharp eyes compassionate. I had hesitated, wondering how I could explain it to him. I had many friends, and at first they had rallied around me. But as time went on, I found I preferred my own company, especially when the headache started. I thought now of the past 5 years and the hectic pace I had set for myself. Never a moment alone, always the push and drive and ambition that had in the end made me famous. My life had been shaped and moulded, sometimes by forces beyond my control. And Ian had been there from the first day, my husband and manager, my lover and friend. He and I had been going to a party the night it happened, driving through the rainy streets of Melbourne. Strangely, we'd been having one of our very rare arguments. I don't know how it had started, but one word had led to another, and suddenly the thing had flared up into a full-scale war. He said things that hurt, and so did I. I knew we would have apologised and made up later. I knew it. I clung to it. But we never had a chance. All in an instant, the other car had come at me from a side street. I tried to turn to avoid it, skidded on the wet road and hit a tree. Ian died that night. I had been only slightly injured, not even badly enough to stop me working. I had finished the film. But the headaches had begun not long afterwards, excruciating things that no amount of over-the-counter cures could dull. I'd had x-rays and brain scans and other tests I'd never heard of. They'd examined my skull inside and out and found nothing. The headaches went on. But it was more than that. The headaches seemed to be a catalyst, and the disintegration of my life followed. I was due to begin another movie a month later, but my ability to put myself fully into a new role had deserted me. I was floundering, directionless. As if Ian had been the pivot around which I turned, and now he was dead, I could no longer function. The movie would begin with or without me, I knew that. Memories can be very short in show business, and all actors are expendable. There was always someone newer, better, and younger looming on the horizon. I needed to get my act together again before it was too late.